Welcome everyone to the Borough of Roosevelt Council meeting for Monday, February 7th, 2022 at 7:02 p.m. Due to the coronavirus and the need for social distancing, this meeting will also be held remotely and available to the public in a live feed. Adequate notice?
Well, I think we lost Bob again. But we do have a quorum.
Okay, I'll just go. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 22, 2022, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published by the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Atwood? Marking him absent. I do
Mark
not
him
see him.
Half here. He was here. He left.
Mr. Esikoff?
Here.
I would like to note for the record that Councilman Esikoff was early to the meeting tonight.
Goodness gracious. So kind.
Mr. Hamilton?
I'm here.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Here.
Mr. Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Malkin?
Here. All right, I'm going to go. This may be a long meeting tonight. Oh, I'm sorry. And we want to say hello to Christina Malamut, who is substituting for Greg Cannon tonight. And she has been with us before.
Hello, okay. Everyone.
Yeah. Hi.
Thank you.
Hi there.
All right, I'm going to go. We have maybe. Okay. Oh, I need to say that now.
Once he gets on, I'm going to mark him that he arrived at the meeting.
I'm here.
Okay, so I'm going to mark him.
Had some technical difficulties.
Stand by.
All right, I'm marking you in at 7:04.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Don't feel bad. I've been doing it for years.
I had to reboot my whole computer.
Roosevelt Hall. Okay, I'm going to go right to public comment on agenda items only. Is there anyone from...
Hold on. You said you're doing away with the mayor's report tonight?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, because it's going to be a fairly lengthy meeting, I think.
Okay.
I think. I don't know. I really, really have a bad record of predicting how long meetings will run, but... Okay, so we'll go right to public comment. I'm going to open the floor at 7:05 p.m. Does anyone from the public have anything they would like to say concerning agenda items? Okay. I'm going to close the public meeting at 7:05 p.m. Come to approval of minutes. We have three sets of minutes tonight because we were a little behind because of the change of deputy clerk. So the first one is the regular meeting minutes from December 6th, 2021. So I have a motion to adopt the minutes?
Yes.
Is that a second?
I'll second it.
Discussion? Roll call?
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. Minutes from December 6th are adopted. Regular meeting minutes from December 20th, 2021.
Yes.
I think that was Mr. Esikoff, correct?
Correct.
Second?
I'll second it.
Discussion? Okay, none. Roll call?
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
The meeting minutes from December 20th were adopted. And finally, we have the regular meeting minutes from January 4th, 2022.
Also, yes.
Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Okay, roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremet?
Yes.
All right, and the meeting, the minutes from January 4th, 2022 are adopted. When it comes to correspondence, we have six letters of correspondence tonight. The first one is a letter from the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection dated January 18th, 2022 regarding a mandatory flood damage prevention ordinance. The second is a letter from the Monmouth County Mosquito Control Division dated January 26, 2022 regarding aerial surveillance and treatment programs starting about April 1st, 2022 and continuing until November 30th, 2022. The third is a letter from Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, dated January 17, 2022, requesting authorization to prepare the annual certification and stormwater permit compliance. The fourth is a letter from Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, dated January 20, 2022, regarding New Jersey Infrastructure Bank funding. Fifth item is a letter from Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, dated January 25th, 2022, requesting authorization to provide a yearly water audit for 2021. And finally, we have a loss control report from Monmouth County Municipal Joint Insurance Fund dated January 24th, 2022. So you all have those letters in your packet.
And just to note, correspondence number 2, 3, and 5, right. Those resolutions are on the agenda for approval.
Mm-hmm. I also would like to note that item number 6, the loss control report for Monmouth County Municipal Joint Insurance Fund, that's handled by Greg Poziel, and we had a perfect report. There wasn't a single recommendation, improvement, anything. It was an absolutely perfect report, which we were very proud of. All right, come to the consent agenda resolutions. What I'm going to do before I'm going to fill in some names, because if you notice, resolution 22-35 is consent to appointments for borough officials, and resolution 2236 is resolution appointing the part-time deputy clerk and environmental commission secretary. So I'll just give you those names right now. For 2235, resolution to amend 2207, consent to appointments for borough officials, we are appointing Fred Septak, and maybe we have the, for everything. Okay, so he will be our joint insurance fund commissioner liaison, our safety coordinator, our right to know coordinator, our clean communities coordinator, and I'm sorry. Let me back up a minute. That's what happens when I'm not wearing my glasses. He will be the joint insurance fund commissioner, the safety coordinator, and the right to know coordinator. And those are all positions that he's taking over for Greg Poziel. Clean communities coordinator will be Maria Delisalo. I think some of you know her. Maria was the clerk in Millstone for many, many years. And we're really lucky because she's so experienced and knowledgeable. And skip to the other one afterwards, but she's going to be our clean communities coordinator. And as far as the school crossing guard, this was just, we were remiss in that when we appointed the others, we overlooked this name, which is Alyssa Shembury. And so she's one of our crossing guards. Okay. As far as resolution 2236, which is resolution appointing a part-time deputy clerk and environmental commission secretary. This was Maria.
Right.
So again, that is Maria Delisalo. So she will be our clean communities coordinator, our environmental commission secretary, and our deputy clerk starting tonight. So do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Mayor, before, just as a point of order here, before we move on this, do we need to amend the administrative code, to put in the fact that we're doing business, via a consent agenda now? Cause I think that's a change in business from the way that we did things before. We would do it resolution by resolution, not en masse. So this is just a reminder that we may need to look at the administrative code and adjust it accordingly.
Christina, if that's true.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Do you know, Christina, if we need to do that?
I was going to say, just give me a minute and let me see what's in your code currently, and then I can let you know in a few minutes once I look at that.
But I will tell you, when I first came here in 16, you had consent agendas.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we changed it back or if we left it there, and if we did, you know, it's fine. We don't need to amend it.
Yeah, we didn't. I don't think we officially changed it back. We just...
Do you know what the administrative code number, what that number is on that?
Christina's looking it up.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah.
Just give me 1 minute.
Sure. Each one.
Mm-hmm. It's section 2. It doesn't specifically say whether or not you can pass resolutions with the consent agenda. That's what the question is, right?
Yeah.
I don't see anything specifically written about a consent agenda. It just says that resolutions are required for the purpose of passing for the board to act for with what you're authorized to do by statute. So the way it's worded, right, as from what I can see currently, it doesn't seem like you need to amend anything at this point. But if I'll look a little deeper, and if I see anything else, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Thank you, Christine. All right, so I will read the resolutions from the consent agenda. Resolution 22-31 is payment of bills for February 7th, 2022. Resolution 2-32, authorizing the County of Monmouth Mosquito Control Division to conduct aerial mosquito control operations within Roosevelt Borough. Resolution 22-33, resolution authorizing Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, to prepare a yearly water audit for 2021 and submit to the Delaware River Basin Commission. Resolution 22-34, resolution authorizing Roberts Engineering Group, LLC, to prepare the annual certification and stormwater permit for the Borough of Roosevelt. Resolution 22-35, resolution to amend 22-07, consent to appointments for 2022 borough officials. Resolution 22-36, resolution appointing a part-time deputy borough clerk, Maria Della Sala, and Environmental Commission Secretary, Maria Della Sala. And Resolution 22-37, resolution creating the Borough of Roosevelt adopt a storm drain program and authorizing the Borough's Environmental Commission to implement same. So do I have a motion to pass the consent agenda?
You do.
Who is that? Is that Lou?
Yeah.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
With the
bomb. Roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essipor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Terpstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so the consent agenda resolutions are adopted. Come to reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Nothing new to report.
Councilmember Esikoff, Administration.
Everything is fine.
Councilmember Hamilton, Finance.
Yeah. I'm going to try to make it short because I know it looks like we have some lengthy discussions here. But a couple of things came up. One of them I just like the council to be aware of, that Solar Village has applied, and I think it will be approved as tax exempt. So for this calendar year and moving forward, they won't be paying property taxes there. And that's a significant budget.
How much is that approximately?
$41,228. So that's revenue, tax revenue, property tax revenue that the borough won't have flowing through. Of course, the school will take a bigger hit on that than us, since most of that would be school tax revenue. But it's something we need to consider in the budget. I talked to George Lang about that today. We'll be looking at that. It won't impact the utility payments. They're still going to pay the utilities, and people may not know this, but they're a pretty large utility payer, over $47,000 annually at the current rates for utility payments. So we're not going to get affected by that, but there's going to be an impact on our next budget with this hit, and also with the fire services contract going up too. So we'll have to consider that when we're planning the next budget. That's it for finance.
I think, thank you.
Yeah, it is what it is. And I'm surprised years ago that Solar Village wasn't tax exempt.
Why is it tax exempt?
Well, I think maybe Michael can answer that better than I can. I don't know the criteria for it, really.
When it was first established, the law was very specific. It was limited only to properties that were to projects organized under a specific HUD program. So the Farmers Home program was organized under, didn't qualify. The law was subsequently changed. We tried to avoid doing this for as long as we can. And we've done, since 1983 that this has gone on. But it reached a point where the finances were such that actually what happened was the management company made the application for us. And we didn't tell them don't do it. And it's basically something necessary. It should point out the percentage that the Solar Village is about $900,000 of assessed valuation, but the total valuation of the borough has gone up about $9 million in the last year. So the impact, if this has to be a good year for it to come, this would be a good year for it, since there's be a lot more added to the assessed valuation than this would be taken away.
Yeah, I think our tax base was around 81 million, something like that. Is it about ballpark, Michael?
It went up to 98. It was 89 and went up to 98.
Okay. All right.
From so 2021 to 2022.
Yeah, as a percentage of our tax base, it's less because of the valuations went up.
Yeah. So anyway, that's where we are.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Sure.
Councilmember Hurstrom, Community Development Code Enforcement.
Nothing to report.
Councilmember Mocker, Public Works.
I guess we really have nothing to report. We obviously had that snow. I think things went fairly well. We did have one complaint, but I haven't heard much more.
Well, one complaint out of about 350 families, I think is pretty good.
And from driving around other towns, I don't think we did any worse than anybody else.
You have the new truck.
No, I agree, Steve. I think we did a wonderful job here because I did see the surrounding communities, which were not plowed nearly as well. And this was the first snow that we utilized our brand new truck. So I think it also went very well with that. Okay, Council Member Trammell, utilities.
Nothing really today. I'll have more the next meeting. There's a couple of things in progress, a couple of repairs going on. So aside from that, nothing happening.
Michael, do you have any report as a borough official?
No, I don't have anything particular to report. I think Mike, do you have anything you want to add about the Environmental Commission?
Yeah, I had a few things. I'll just try to keep it tight here. We discussed the School Lane Road project, specifically the question as to whether or not we want to recommend putting curbs in as part of the road project there. The Environmental Commission recommended not putting in curbs as part of the project if it's allowable to not put curbs in as part of the project. And Cameron may know a little more about that. I think the concern was that it's on a slope toward the school and there can be ponding down there. And I think you might get a lot more runoff with curbs there that run downhill toward the school and it might pull up and then freeze, which could be a significant issue for pedestrian traffic and also car traffic.
Well, again, I don't know what Cameron's going to discuss with us tonight, but I had asked Carmela after our last meeting and after exchanging emails with some of the residents on School Lane to begin to research whether it was possible to omit the curbs.
Okay. Just a few other items. We noticed
we have curbs there now.
On one side.
I'm sorry?
Just on the school side, not the opposite side.
We've noticed that there's a new trail blazed along the bike path to the school from a residence to the path. Somebody put in their own trail that connects with it. And there was some concern about that, mainly involving the removal of habitat with private homeowners putting in their own trails and that kind of thing. And a little concern about other homeowners may decide to cut their own trails along the Woodland Trail from the back of their house or whatever to join up with the trail.
Is that a trail from Tamara or Pine?
I think it's from a house on Tamara connecting a homeowner connecting with the bike path to the school.
Without anyone noticing.
I don't know, but
it's probably hidden behind a house.
So concern is that other homeowners may decide that they want to cut their own trails and it could cause some damage to the environment. And so the question came up with, does the council want to get involved in this and how would we address it? So I'm just going to leave that as an open thing to think about. Again, I brought up the hot button topic of the removal of healthy trees from homeowners' properties without permits. I initiated a discussion on that to try to get some more ideas as to how we might approach it. One of the ideas was to really do even more public outreach, possibly put a reminder on the water bill about a permit. You can't cut a tree without a permit. What's that?
The signs are ordered. We're putting signs around town.
Excellent. And that'll help too with it.
They're very pointed. I mean, you look at the sign and you know you can't cut a tree without a permit.
Good, good. Also, a suggestion was made that we might want to put a notice in big bold print on the bulletin board in town, along with a form, you know, that people need to file to get approval. Also, the council may need to revisit that tree ordinance. We spoke about that before. So we might want to look at that. I don't think there was anything else for that.
Can I go back to the trail for a moment?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who did it, but, you know, we do have many, many new families in town. And I wonder if they're aware that those woods are not part of their property, that they're state green acres.
It's a good point. I think
it might behoove us to inform everyone that it's not theirs to touch.
I think maybe something in the bulletin might help with that reminding.
I think that would be the ideal place.
I'm sorry, what?
And the bulletin board. And the bulletin board.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's anything else. Anything? No, I think that's it for Environmental Commission.
Okay, thank you.
I do also have a brief school board report since I'm the liaison to the board. Whenever you want to do that. You know.
Well, you could. It's your. What are we on?
Reports of our.
Yeah, borough official. So go. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. A vacancy was filled on the school board with Heather Giske. Gisk, is that right? Or
Gisk, yeah.
Gisk. She filled a vacancy on the board and was appointed. I think she has 5 young children. So she certainly qualified to be on the school board. So we're glad to have her there.
Interest.
Yeah, Michael and Leo were sworn in again as school board reps. So that's good.
Dave Shembri and I were sworn in.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I stand corrected. Thank you, Michael.
Sure.
Jeb had some questions about, if the building is not used in any of the scenarios as far as regionalization or consolidation, whatever, who would maintain the building? I had an idea that I threw out there about the possibility of, having an interlocal arrangement with the school if it comes down to a real problem with funding and we can't keep the school open because they don't have enough funds, possibly merging the borough offices into the school building and having it be a combined facility consisting of the borough offices where the library wing is, which has its own separate door, and there would have to be other changes made for security. But the idea is to share costs, and some of the costs the borough budget we could pick up, and that would help the school by deferring a lot of their costs. Building maintenance, outdoor maintenance for the facilities, all kinds of things. It's just an idea. Administrative costs, copiers, office equipment, grounds maintenance, all those things. It's just something that I threw out there. I was thinking that the school has a so-called excess capacity, and room in it. And it also, if the borough offices were in the school and was part of that building, it would truly be a community center, multi-use center. It would be difficult for the federal government, I think, to come in there and take the school away and say, now it reverts back to the federal government because part of it would be a municipal, building. And that was just, you know, we're starting to try different ideas to throw out there just to see, because we don't know what's going to happen with the school, as far as funding is concerned. Mary Tullis spoke and wanted to know who was going to be the interim CSA when Mary Cohen leaves, which will be in a month. And I think the school board is working on that, and they have plans for that. And most of that's been discussed in closed session. Nona Sherrick spoke out at the meeting and wanted to add concerns about the war monument, which is toward the street side toward Rochdale, that it was not being kept properly, and it showed a lack of respect for the veterans who died in the wars. So she brought that to the attention of the board, and the board will probably do some maintenance. It's not a borough monument. It's not on the borough grounds. It's on the school grounds, which is why that's appropriate. The school, there's a lot going on with the school, but this may not be the time to discuss it. There's informal citizens groups. Mary Tullis and Jeb Sean formed one to gather information, really, about all the different aspects of school funding, the possibility for legislation which might create an exemption for the school. Michael Tipton was involved in a Zoom meeting with that. John Ord, who's a school board rep, was also involved in a meeting. Mary Tullis interviewed Mary Cohen to find out and get some background information as to what was done so far and whether or not she wanted to be involved moving forward in an effort to save the school. So that's going on in the community, and I'm also in that group. So I'm taking notes as I do. I think in a previous life I was a scribe, because I'm always taking notes on things. And if anybody needs to know what's going on, I'm gathering information on that. And if anybody's interested, they can contact Jeb Sean or Mary Tullis. And you know, the more the merrier as far as gathering information. Anybody who's got an idea or information on school funding and how to approach that issue is welcome to join in. It's an informal group, and we do have Zoom meetings. We have one coming up on Thursday at 7 o'clock, and Mary Tullis has the information on that. So if anybody wants to join in, they're certainly welcome to do that. End of report.
Thank you. Okay, we've come to unfinished business. We have curbs on School Lane, but Christina is, Cameron is here tonight, and he will, you know, I believe we have to go into closed session, and he's going to discuss some other things in closed session. Is that something that we'll discuss now in the open public meeting with Cameron, or?
No, we're scheduled to do that on the agenda in the closed executive session, so we'll wait for that.
Not for the curbs.
Oh, I thought this was about the report.
No,
it's about the curbs on School Lane.
Okay, if it's unrelated to the executive, right, the executive issue, then yes.
Is there the possibility for litigation involving curb, whether or not to put in
the curbs? I don't believe I am familiar with what's going on with the curbs. If there is some potential litigation, then let's save that for the executive session. You would all know better than I do at this point. I've just been briefed on the two executive session agenda items, but if there is potential for litigation, then it should be discussed in the closed session.
As far as I'm aware, there's not any potential litigation.
I don't believe there is.
Okay, then we can proceed.
Well, can we turn this over to Cameron then now, Cameron, so you can update us on what you know so far, what you've learned so far, and our quest to omit the curbs.
Absolutely. If I may, I'd like to just start with, you know, why we show the curbs on the plan, you know, the new curbs for none exist. For those of you who don't know, you know, School Lane currently has curb on the east side. That's the side closest to Rochdale Avenue. The west side has no curb. The pavement just goes right up to those existing lawn areas, for those two or three private properties on that side. Now the proposed plan shows new curb on the entirety of the west side of the road. We're replacing curb just where it's needed on the east side. We're also replacing some sidewalk where it's damaged or it's not ADA compliant. The reasoning behind that, there's actually a few. This project is funded with DOT money. Typically, the DOT recommends that curb be added to most, if not all, roads. They do make a few exceptions. However, they look at it in terms of safety and soil erosion. Curbing inherently is just, it's just an added safety feature for vehicular traffic, especially when you're looking at an area close to a school. School lane in the borough is kind of an oddball, just how it sits and where the houses sit. So it might not necessarily be as much of a safety concern as you would see on other typical municipal roads. But, you know, with those concerns noted, you know, adding curb is just beneficial in terms of grant writing. The DOT looks very kindly on adding curb where none exists when they're looking at awarding funding to towns. Curbing is also really encouraged in terms of your annual stormwater permit through the DEP. I know you passed a resolution a few minutes ago. That's one of the items that they typically ask about. The DEP likes curb because it helps eliminate soil erosion. You know, you don't have lawns being washed away. Again, that's not necessarily something that's a super big concern at this exact location, but it is something that the DEP encourages throughout various municipal projects. And finally, the design is just consistent with other projects we've done in the borough. Like I said, School Lane itself has curb on most of the east side of the road, so adding it to the west side would provide consistency there. But the other three short courts that you have in the borough off of Pine and Tamara, that's Maple, Cedar, and Elm, they've all been improved over the last 15 or so years, and they all have curbing on both sides of the road now, whereas before they did not. So that's how we came to writing the grant, and that's how the design developed to what you see currently. I know that a few residents did have concerns about having curb installed where none exists. They do have some improvements that they've made within the public right-of-way that they don't want to see damaged. I know that I did say that most of it should be fine, but you know, construction is construction. Every now and then, you know, a bush may be damaged. Now, the biggest thing is the DOT. You know, the DOT has approved the plans. They've awarded the funding. They allowed you to move forward with construction based on the current design. With that in mind, we did contact the DOT. We spoke to two of their representatives that are very knowledgeable about Roosevelt and the projects that you've done over the years. And really, the quick answer here is the DOT will allow you to remove curbing from the contract at this location if you want. We do have to do a small or a short formal procedure to do that. It's a scope modification. It's a one-page form. Your borough engineer, we just provide a summary. And then the mayor signs it, and then we make a formal submission. That process could take anywhere from 1 to 4 weeks for them to review. And the DOT has informally indicated that they would likely not reduce the grant that you've been awarded. So you probably most likely keep all the money that you've already been awarded.
That's excellent news.
Yeah, and you know, the process for preparing that form is maybe an hour's worth of our time. It's not that difficult. I could probably have it done tomorrow if you want to go that route.
I think that will please almost everyone. I know initially there was great concern over the greenery that would have to be removed, but then I think some of the residents made excellent points about storm runoff and ponding towards the school. And I don't know, am I wrong in saying I think most of us agree that we would prefer to omit the curbs, especially now given the information that we won't lose any of our funding at all. And it won't cost much time or money to take it out.
You know, one of the other issues that came up from some school people regarding the curb, putting in curbs possibly on the east side, is that with curbs on the west side, the school is on the west side, and there are curbs and sidewalks along that way. Is that right? Do I have it right?
I think you have it backwards.
Okay. Yeah,
the curbing and sidewalk is on the east side.
Okay, got it. But there's curb and sidewalk connecting with the school, And if you put it on the other side, there has been some safety concerns that children will try to cross the road and they'll use the sidewalks on the other side. And that is a tricky kind of road, especially during drop off and pick up with pedestrians. If kids are walking on the side of the road where we're anticipating possibly putting a curb and sidewalk, they might want to cross the road to get to the school, and then there could be vehicular traffic. So actually there's some safety concerns in putting in the additional sidewalk, although there may be benefits safety-wise to having it too. But there are concerns about having a sidewalk on both sides of kids crossing.
But were they going to put sidewalks or just curbs on the other side?
I'm sorry. The west side, which currently has nothing, we were only proposing curbing. We were not proposing new sidewalk over there.
Okay, good. That's good. Good. Okay.
Christina, do we need a roll call vote to authorize Cameron to go ahead and prepare whatever he has to prepare to make a petition to eliminate the curbs from the project?
Is this already a resolution?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Well, it was a resolution, applying for the grant and for the...
Oh, okay. Then yes, that would be fine. Well, it would probably be a motion to amend the resolution to include that authorization in there.
Can we do that now?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to amend that resolution to include the stipulation of...
I'm sorry to interrupt, but... Just for clarity's sake, just so I'm aware, this is all the proposed curb on the west side. That includes the north leg, north of Pine Drive, as well as south of Pine Drive. Is that correct?
Above the two sides?
Yeah, school lane is split almost in half with Pine Drive.
Yeah, right through Pine, yeah. I don't know, we didn't discuss that. What does everyone think on the non-school part?
It doesn't affect if we put the curbs in, it wouldn't affect any water flow or anything like that. So I would leave the other side alone to have curbs.
The original design.
As it's designed, yeah.
Okay.
That's my
thing. I think we have to ask Al in front of his house.
No, if you ask, you ask Al, you can open up a can of worms.
That's why I want to ask.
Well, are there any shrubs there or any kind of things that people planted that they wouldn't want?
Not that I know of.
Not that I know. Well, I don't know the whole street, but not by Al's mostly driveway by the where that is.
I think most of the street is mostly driveway.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the northern half of School Lane, there are some areas that have shrubs, similar to that southern half. But I don't see a huge,
impact,
huge change to that at all with the new curbing.
I would leave it.
So we want to amend it to just say
the east side. The side on the school side.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
So do I have a motion to amend the resolution?
Yes.
Stipulation that we are omitting curbs on the school, on the south school side. Well, the west side of the southern part of School Lane.
you got that, Christina? I'll make the motion.
School curbs on the west side will be eliminated.
The west side.
We're going to make a lot of people very happy, including my
south school thing. Right.
Do you mind just repeating it one more time for clarity, just so I do have it down correctly?
Yes, we are going to make a change to the design so that the curbs on the west side of the southern portion of School Lane will be eliminated.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I'll second that motion.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, Cameron. Is that okay, Cameron, what I said?
Yeah, that's exactly what we've discussed. Yep.
Okay. And Joe, you seconded it?
Wait, who was first?
Yep. Mike Hamilton moved it and Joe seconded it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, roll call whenever you're ready.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Ethicoff?
What side of where?
Just the school.
No. Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Herbstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Oh, I'm really glad. I'm really happy about this. I think schooling, given the greenery that will be saved and the ponding of the rainwater, and just the fact that it's such a charming, quaint little lane, and it'll remain the same, I think is a.
We won't alienate anybody that way.
Right. No, keep it quaint and charming looking.
Yeah, I want to thank Cameron for reaching out to the DOT on that too. Thank you, Cameron.
Yes.
You're welcome. No problem.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you authorized him to do the slope modification. Yes. Okay, we're going to come to new business. Does anyone have any new business they'd like to discuss?
I just have one quick thing. I was looking at the electric panel in Borough Hall. It's very old. Just the panel, the outer panel itself, has no numbers that are usually on the panels to designate what breaker number they are. I saw a service label on there from 1976. I think it would be advisable to have a licensed electrician and just to open the panel up, tighten all the connectors on the inside, and replace the old breaker cover with one that has numbers on it. I don't think this would cost too much, probably less than $1,000, and they could give a report on how the electric panel looks internally also. So I don't know if we need.
This has been discussed quite a bit in the last few months, and everything in the room works perfectly. I think that Greg has been updating he created a spreadsheet with Anna. They have every single outlet marked. They're, freshly and newly marked. We've never had a problem. We have elections.
I understand.
We've had elections here with all the election machines. We've had concerts. We've had, all the rap performances. We've never, ever had a single problem. It just seems like a needless expenditure. We don't need to spend money on an electrician when there's just never been a problem. We've had the Borough Hall open as a shelter.
As a shelter, right. And everybody was using it to charge their equipment and whatever.
I understand what everyone is saying. I'm just saying that it is so old that there are no stamped numbers on the panel itself. I know he marked it with metal. And I went around and tested one outlet that they don't know where the breaker is for. So I'm just saying, as a safety consideration, to have someone come and open it up, just take a look, and put a proper cover on the breakers so that we know exactly what the breaker number is. That's all. Just a safety consideration. I understand everything that you're saying. Okay. Yeah,
everything's working perfectly. So,
I know.
Carefully here, and so to spend money for an electrician when there's just no problem at all seems needless.
Agreed.
How does that
okay? I just a preventive maintenance thing, that's all.
But we are maintaining it, we are doing preventative maintenance because Greg's been working on it for months now, checking everyone over and over, which you do know, Joe, because you did it with him last week. He's been checking.
Well, I went through for 5 minutes last week, and we found one break. We found one outlet that did not have a corresponding breaker to it. So just, and then looking at the panel itself and seeing how old it was, I know from experience that screws get loose by themselves. We have copper connectors, aluminum connectors. I just think it would be a good thing to do. But, hey, I've been shot down before, so.
I think sometime down the line when we have an electrician here to do other work, we definitely should do that. And I don't know if you can say that everything in the room works perfectly until you check every single circuit. This is an old, I know. No, there's some outlets that are unaccounted for. There may be other ones. Yeah. Well, there's one that Joe ran into. I know that they couldn't figure out what circuit that was on. But
it resulted in any kind of problem for us.
Yeah. Well, so far, so good.
It's very easy to do. Just short circuit the outlet one time and see which breaker goes down. The breaker will go.
Well,
that's
I don't.
One way.
How do you think he's going to do it?
No, I'm just saying. Sometime down the line, we may want to do that, and it makes sense to replace the breaker cover, so it's so that we have the circuits
properly numbered. That's all.
Right.
If an electrician comes, opens it up, he would or she would probably say, you need to put a panel on here with proper numbers on it. But whatever. We could wait for that. But it is something that should be considered at some point in time.
Okay. Oh, there he's back. Okay, well, I think that's a good suggestion. Then when we have an electrician here for other purposes, then while they're here, they can also check that for us.
I think there's probably other panels and other things that should be updated too. And we've done a good job of updating panels at the and circuitry at the water treatment plant, the sewer treatment plant. And I think that ought to be part of a project when we do it.
Yeah, they put a small space heater in the outer office a couple of weeks ago and it popped a breaker. So, it would be good to.
That's a little bit of a misrepresentation. That space heater, first of all, was months ago, but it was on high. And at the same exact time that an electric kettle was on. So then they realized if they put it on medium, not even low, but on medium, that didn't happen. You just can't have the kettle and the space heater. Because space heaters, I'm sure draw quite a bit of electricity.
Yeah, I'm just from my experience. With electricity, that's all, no big deal.
But we have an electrician here for other, for other reasons. They can,
that's good.
Mm-hmm. Do that. Is there any other new business? Okay, so I'm going to open the floor to public comment on any item at all, anything at all, at 7:55. God bless you, Lou.
Thank you.
Anyone from the public? Mike?
Yeah, hi.
Identify Michael.
Yourself. Yep. Michael Tickton, 37 North Valley Road. I just, first of all, I wanted to thank Peggy for the, for finding the Maria Del Sala as the secretary for these.
Thank you for your appreciation, Kathleen really found her.
Okay, well, I thank Kathleen for doing that. I thank all of you for doing that. One thing I would just want to point out is technicality. I believe I'm correct in saying the Environmental Commission, like the Planning Board, selects its own officers. So technically what the council has done is approved Maria Della Sala as the person for election by the Environmental Commission. But the Environmental Commission is still going to have to do the actual appointment. So, okay, that's all.
Thanks, Mike.
Peggy, I just wanted to add a couple things, and I might have missed this on the agenda, but the Adopt a Drain program that we...
Well, Mike, we're in the public portion.
Yeah, where do you... Well, I have a few odds and ends, so where do you want to do it?
It's okay, I can defer to you.
When I close public portion.
Okay, whatever. Yeah.
I think we'll be in a second.
Yes.
So is there anyone else in the public who has anything that they would like to say or state? Okay, being none, I can close at 7:57. Christina, you should know we probably have the only computer in the world where the clock is slow. So we have to figure out what time it is all the time. It used to be 3 minutes slow, now it's 5.
Oh, interesting.
That's why I'm always hesitating doing the addition or the math.
Right.
I think Lou comes and goes according to the clock. Is that right?
Lou doesn't have a clock, buddy. It's too late. He's lost the clocks.
Okay.
Okay, so we close at
Lou's lucky, Lou's lucky he can read a clock.
Okay, Mike, did you want to throw out some things?
Yeah, because of the consent agenda and it getting approved in mass, I just wanted to add with the adopt a storm drain program that we authorized. There is a website for this already in existence where, you can go on nj.adopt-a-drain.org online and you can,
Mike, will you just repeat that slowly?
Yeah, it's New Jersey adoptadrain.org. But if you research it, you'll come up with the link. I can forward it to you because it's one of those links. But it actually has a map of the borough, and it allows you, it's a state run program, allows anybody to choose a drain. It has a map with drains on it, I believe, or they can be put on this map, and it, you give it a permission to access your location. It'll show you where the nearest drain is, and you can be part of that program by using the state program that's already in existence. And I think that Greg Cannon pointed that out and sent an email to us with that link on it. Maybe that link could be put on the borough website, since this is a program, and it would make it easy for people to just drop right in and pick a drain near their house to adopt. And I think it, you know, and also because I'm the liaison to the Environmental Commission, if there's an issue, if somebody notices that it just can't be cleared, there's stuff and debris inside it, interfering with it, they can contact me or through the council email system or whatever. And I'll make sure that we address it on the borough end and get equipment out there to clean it out.
Right. I did speak to Greg earlier and I asked him, I haven't looked at that website yet. So I just off the top of my head asked him, basically when a resident cleans a storm drain, what do they do with the muck and junk that was in there?
I think I said that a couple of months ago.
So on their website, Greg said they can just throw it in the trash.
Well, a lot of it's compostable. I mean, if it's not plastic bottles and things like that, often it's a lot of, you know, just leaves and debris that's natural.
And that's when he said you can just put it in the trash.
Yeah.
Go
ahead. I just wanted to mention that on the website, there is a portion of the website that gives instructions on how to properly clear a drain and some tips and tricks on how to do so. They would be able to reference that as well.
I'm not sure all of the storm drains in the borough are on that map.
We may
need to do an assessment and have our own map with storm drains noted on it. And we may be able to have that included on the state site. So there'll be locations for every storm drain.
Christina?
Yes, but when I search, just in general, just the borough, it says that there's no drains at the location. So even if I hone in even closer, it doesn't list them there all there. So, I can look into how we can coordinate with this program to see how our drains appear on their map. And then we can have them on there. So if someone wants to go in and adopt it through this program, they'd be able to do so on this specific website that they can then access from the borough's website.
Okay. Joe, do you know if we have a map, a good map of all the storm drains in town?
We do have a hand-drawn map of what seems to be all those storm drains in town, yes.
Okay, if we can get a copy of that, we can maybe punch
Anna
it in.
Has that, Anna has that in her archives on the cloud.
Great, okay. Good. Okay.
So pretty good. It's been in our system somewhere. She would have to pull it and hand it over.
All right, sounds good. One of the things that we didn't discuss also was the Tamara Drive, the Tamara Road project, whether or not we're going to do half of it or a full road project. Do we want to discuss that or do we want to table that for some other time?
Well, How about on the 20th? We discuss it then.
Okay, but the reason I was bringing that up is Cameron's here, so there may be considerations from an engineering perspective, whether or not there's any benefits to doing the whole road, even though we only have grant money for half of it.
That's the paving. That's just the paving. No, the grant money was for the entire project. Half of it, water. That was the only other thing.
Oh, it's just the water.
I spoke with Carmela, and she said she didn't have any problem doing the whole thing, water and paving.
Okay.
I don't know if Greg knows that, or Greg or Cameron knows that, but we did speak.
Yeah, Carmela and I have been talking about it a little bit. Just bear with me one second. I'm sorry.
I thought he might not be familiar because he didn't know.
No, I am familiar, but I always get confused between Tamara and Pine.
I have a question tonight, so.
So Tamara, you know, you did receive grant money, and I apologize. I don't remember the exact amount of the grant money versus what was requested, but I do believe it was something like 50%. You know, you received about 50% of the money that was needed to redo the entire road. And then on top of that, there's the water main question, because I know you've been investing quite a bit in water mains throughout the borough. And just to add to that a little bit, you also received money for Pine Drive between Rochdale to Tamara, which is the same thing, you know, same scope of work. In reviewing it with Carmela, I think at a minimum, you should do the road work up to the grant amount, you know, reduce the road work by about 50%. So that you don't have to spend a whole lot of money out of pocket. However, we do see that there's a benefit to doing the entire length of the water main all at once, you know, from the intersection of Rochdale at Pine, through Tamara to the intersection of Tamara at Rochdale, simply because I think you'll get economy of scale. You know, you get a little more pipe, you'll probably get a better pricing, and you could fund that entirely through the New Jersey Infrastructure Bank program, which you've been using for all your water main work. For the loan program, because it has low interest rates and a portion of it can be forgiven. So it essentially becomes a partial grant. So I think those are your two options, you know, whether or not you want to do the entire water main with some of the road or the entire water main with all of the road, and have some money out of pocket.
Cameron, would entail digging a trench. Right through the second half that we are not paving.
Correct, and the thought process would be
and then repave it.
Correct. Yeah. So the thought process is, you know, we would restore that trench as best we could. You know, make it look good, seal it so that it's safe, a safe drivable surface that will last for a number of years, and then that could be a grant application you submit at a later date. You know, maybe next year, so that we could come in, you know, a year or two behind and pave that completely, so it looks like a nice solid road, like all the other roads.
I'm sorry. No, that's all right.
I was just going to say, to complicate this a little bit more, I know we sent the letter, and it's on your agenda, about alternative methods for funding. There's the New Jersey Transportation Infrastructure Bank. That's a relatively new program. It's very similar to the loan program you've been using for water main, except it's geared towards transportation projects. And it's specifically geared towards projects where you're in a condition like this. You know, you've got a project that hasn't received 100% funding through the grant program. So you could supplement it with this low interest loan. And the New Jersey Transportation loan would allow 50% with zero interest, and then 50% with significantly low interest, typically interest rates below market rate. So, you know, you could go that route if you want to do the entire length of the roadway improvements without paying for it completely out of pocket with no other outside funding source.
That sounds intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And it, it, I, No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Cameron.
I was just going to say that the transportation loan is a relatively new program. I think it's only about 3 or 4 years old. But there aren't many towns that have used it. I know for us, none of our clients have used it. But in speaking with the program representatives, like I said, it's very similar to the water bank, which we have done quite a bit of. They're essentially bankers. They're really talking it up, but you know, everything that they're saying seems to hit the right points for using it for a municipal project.
Excuse me. I would just say that, I mean, it's always better to do the whole street at once if it's feasible. Speaking from personal experience, Homestead Lane half was done in 2012, and then the other half wasn't done until 2020. And a street generally has a 10-year life. So
before you can turn around, you'd be
in a couple of years, you know, a couple of years after the new park. So
we're back to square one.
Yeah, so if it's feasible, it seems like that would be ideal to do the whole street.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Especially given
all the... Yeah, and with the new iBank funding, 50% of it with no interest, 50% with low interest, lower than usual market rate, the net interest is probably 1%, 2%, something like that. And we all know interest rates are going up. There's inflation. Cost of materials are going up.
Everything's going up.
Yeah, it may make sense to do that now, although with the lack of tax revenue that we're looking at, I kind of a little hesitant, but I think it makes sense to do the whole thing too.
Let me bring this up. I am lining up representatives to come and speak to us at our next few meetings from the cannabis industry. You know, we did a kind of a straw poll, and the residents were in favor 2-1 having some type of business here. And I think that not really expressing an opinion of whether I want it here or not, but I will just say that if we had a business, it would bring quite a bit of revenue to the town. I've heard varying amounts, but it would be a shot of revenue that we could, it would really be beneficial to us. Both we're losing Solar Village tax revenue, where, you know, there's six different cannabis businesses that could be put in place. And so I'm going to have a representative from each of the six arms come and speak to us and see if that's something we want to do and, you know, consider the financial end of it.
Where would you put them?
Well, I mean, Lou, that's so far, I don't know. It really depends on what type of business. Is it production or distribution? Maybe it could go where the factories are. Is it retail?
It depends on the zoning. Right. It depends on what, you know, what they do and whether or not we're zoned for it. Okay. So I think it's worthwhile considering.
Absolutely.
Because that will be a big influx of money.
And I think it would be wonderfully ironic if the sale of cannabis in town somehow saved the elementary school, you know.
And our streets.
It's a perfect Roosevelt story, you know.
Right. Yeah, I was waiting for the beginning of the year when it's so hectic with reorg and some other things. And, you know, there's a lot going on now. But I've been researching someone from all the six different businesses to come and speak to us.
Good.
Okay, anything else? Okay. Any other last?
Well, just quickly back to
the Thieber Drive. Will they be giving out samples?
Joe, what did you say, Joe?
I say back to Tamara Drive, I'm in favor of paving and water maining the entire Tamara Drive.
So am I.
Well, yeah.
So am I. Madam Mayor?
Yes?
Are these six people going to bring samples? Because if they bring samples, I'll be there.
Okay, well, sure.
It's hard to do that in a Zoom meeting.
So everybody can stop by individually and pick it up in the afternoon. And then,
that's right. Yeah, and then we could all smoke together at the Zoom meeting. Yeah.
Listen, I'll tell them since they're in town, I give them my address. They can drop them.
I guess theoretically you could, because recreational is legal, right? So everyone theoretically could smoke at on the Zoom meetings?
I don't know.
It doesn't look good.
I mean, from your own home, I guess it's fine.
Who are you going to tell?
Get back to Tamara, please. Is that are we moving forward with the project?
Let's put it this way.
As it stands?
Who is in favor of doing the entire Tamara?
This is a straw poll, Mayor? Yeah. I am at this point.
Yes.
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 Okay.
Yeah, I am if Mike Hamilton says that the finances are under control.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily make a blanket statement like the finances are under control. Let's spend. What one good thing, the New Jersey, loan on the 40-year-old loan on the sewer treatment plant for renovations that was long ago. I think we have one or two more payments on it, and that's finished. So
miracle.
That does give us a little more headroom to finance some things.
But we're going to be taking a bite out of that soon too, right?
We're going to be taking a big bite out of that. So I think we need to look at it. We need to look at the financials and look at it over time and see how it would graph out and how our overall debt would look on a chart.
So I think we have to speak to our controller.
24 years ago?
Yeah.
Not 24, what am I talking about? 30 years ago.
40.
No, 92, they took out the loan.
Oh, was it 30? Yeah.
Finance guy? 92, 02.
I thought it was 82.
It is 40. 92, 02, 12.
30 years.
Oh, 30 years.
No, it wasn't 80, Mike. It was 92.
Whatever it is, it's being retired really soon. So it gives you a little more room to take on more debt. But Steve's got a good point. We need all new trickling filters or some sort of system at the sewer treatment plant. That's crucial. And we're talking a big project there and a big expenditure. So we need to look at the whole thing and see how it works out. I did ask George Lang again about having a finance meeting, and he said soon, as soon as he gets some other things in order.
I just said that we need to talk to George.
You're right. We do.
A good perspective of what we can and can't do.
Yep.
So why don't you, at the finance meeting, look into paving doing all of Tamara?
We will. And
that'll be on the agenda.
Yep.
For discussion.
As a point of information, I believe we've already passed a bonding issue for all of Tamara.
For water mains too?
Water mains too. That's the entire thing. Paving and
no.
We didn't make a decision about water mains, so how could we have
voted? We haven't done that at all.
No, we didn't make a decision about that.
We have to do a bond drive, but
We'll outline all that and look at it and look at all these different bonds and funding.
And you know, Mike, I'm just put this out there when you're having your finance meetings. So one of the problems with the gas station property is that there's no water sewer there, which I think would make it more attractive to any business that would want to come in right now. It's not hooked up to town water sewer. So I had spoken to George Lang about it briefly, not recently, I don't know, a few months ago. And I had also asked Carmela ballpark what she thought it would cost for us to run water sewer there, for the town to do it. She gave a ballpark figure of $100,000. I asked George if we could use the $82,000 that we received from the American Rescue Plan towards that. And he said we probably could, but that even if we couldn't, he felt that there were other ways that it would be not such a hardship for us. You know, I really don't know. We didn't delve into it that in so much detail, but he felt it wasn't out of the realm of possibility for us to fund running water sewer to the gas station. You know, I was so
probably transfer money around a little bit.
So I was so proud when we raised that eyesore for 35 years was finally gone. But now it's been about, I don't know, 2.5 years. And so I don't want that, you know, just, I don't want another eyesore of just like this old parking lot sitting there. I'd really like to see something happen at the gas station. So
the borough's owned that property for 21 years, I think. 21 years, 22 yeah. maybe. So
maybe also when you have your finance meeting, you can talk to George a little bit about different possibilities of us funding running water sewer there so that we can actually.
It would certainly be more attractive.
Viable property.
You know, it's certainly more attractive for selling it.
Absolutely.
And just privately, I could, well, never mind. No, I don't want to say it publicly.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so I believe we need a closed session, Counselor?
Yes, that's correct.
Kathleen, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, I have to hold on.
Hold on, we'll just get
the resolution. Okay, I got the resolution.
Okay.
So I have a resolution that I have to read, providing for a private executive meeting that excludes the public. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act, enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof, wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted from the requirement of the act. And whereas the said act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portions thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said act. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Borough Council as follows. The next portion of the meeting to be held in private session, that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matters potential litigation, Green Acres encroachment, potential litigation, contractual private property drainage, that no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is in basic. Anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. So I need a first and a second.
You have this first.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. To adopt resolution 2238, now I'm going to do a roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essipoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Tremont?
Yes.
All right. So we have to make sure that everybody is.
Well, it was only Michael, and he's not on now.
Okay. So I'm going to pause recording and time in.
It is 8:20 exactly.
21.
Not on our computer. Are we 6 minutes fast? Slow now?
All right. So we are going to pause. We are out of closed session at 9:10 p.m.
All right. Thank you, Cameron. I will waiting to hear from you.
Yeah, there's no action being taken. So we're just right at adjournment.
Well, wait. Let me. I just want to remind everyone that our next meeting is February 22nd, which is a Tuesday, because Monday's
President's Day.
Well, I was going to say Lincoln's birthday, President's Day. So our
Cameron,
next is Tuesday the 22nd.
Cameron?
Yes, sir.
I didn't mean to break your chops, really.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, but yes, we are in regular session, so don't discuss it.
Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
You do.
Second?
Second.
Connie's got it then.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Have a nice couple of weeks, everyone.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Good
night.
Let's see. 9:12.
Okay. So we're going to stop recording. Are you sure you don't want to stop recording to the cloud?